are now listening to The Air Raid, a podcast put on by the writers of Viva the Matadors, an SB Nation site covering everything Texas Tech athletics.
What is up, Viva the Matador readers? We are here for another Air Raid podcast. It's been so long, I can't remember the episode number. Somewhere around number 7 or 8, I believe. But we are back. It is game week, which is the most exciting news that I've got to bring you. I'm sure we're all excited about that. I've got Jonathan Althaus here with me. What's up, Jonathan?
Not much. Ready for Saturday.
Aren't we all? And I've also got one of our newest writers, Mr. Ryan Smith. What's up, Ryan?
Not a lot. How's it going?
It is all right. It's game week, so you can't ever complain during game week. I think that's a rule of college football.
Unless you're the second-string quarterback this week.
Very good point. Very good point. I'm actually working on an article right now for tomorrow morning, and one of the things I'm talking about is what are we going to learn from this first game? So let's just start there. I'll keep my thoughts to myself since I'm writing about it, but I'll ask you guys. I mean, what do we learn this week, Jonathan? Is there something we take out of this game? We're playing an FCF school, although they're ranked number 2, number 3 in the nation in FCS rankings. But what do we learn?
I hope we don't learn anything. I think that's going to be our best case scenario, is if we don't learn anything about how we play against Sam Houston State. I'm not knocking them at all. I know they're a great school, one of the powerhouses in the FCS. But we should be able to do what we want. We saw what happened against Central Arkansas last year, and we kind of poo-pooed it off and said, oh, we're going to play better against the FBS teams, and they're not going to rush all over us like Central Arkansas was able to do a little bit. And that didn't really happen. So I don't think we need to be taking anything away from this game unless it's something negative.
All right, Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. That's kind of a fine line to walk, because – so many things, like we saw last year, can go negative really quick. And I think there's so many expectations on this new defensive look of just seeing how they come out. I really want to see turnovers, number one. I want to see us going after the ball on defense. And I think regardless of the score, if we can just have a cohesive defensive unit that's just going after the ball and ball hawking, I think that's going to be the biggest takeaway going forward than anything else that we're going to see, including on the offensive side of the ball with the quarterback situation. So as long as we see that kind of resurgent defensive front, you know, our front seven's looking good, I think we need to look at some of our new players and see what they're going to bring. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of all this talk about turnovers, really seeing if we can actually get some turnovers against an FCS team.
So, you guys are still my thunder. I said turnovers is a big deal. It's been since 2011 that we got a turnover in the first game of the season. So, that's been 2012, 13, and 14.
Was that Cody Davis?
You know, I don't know, because we got 4 turnovers. It was against Texas State. We beat them 50-0, and there were 4 turnovers that game that we got.
Okay.
Other than that, we've played powerhouses like SMU. And I can't remember who else. Another FCF school, Northwestern State.
Weber State.
Yeah. Maybe that's who. But it was Sam Houston and a couple of scrubs, and we've gotten 0 turnovers the last 3 years. So that was one of them. My other thing was, yeah, we can find out if we stink. If we lose to Sam Houston State, we know that we stink. Doesn't mean we can't improve, but it does mean that we currently, first game of the season, stink as a team. So those are a couple of the nuggets that I've got in my article for tomorrow morning. But, yeah, you guys, I'm on the same page with a lot of what you said. So one thing that I said in the article, too, is quarterback. We'll learn the starting quarterback finally. We could put that to rest. But my question is, why did Coach Kingsbury make the switch in what he said? Back in spring, right after spring ball, early summer, he was talking about, I want to name one early in fall camp so that we can gel as an offense. Seems like a pretty normal thing to say, normal track to take. And then last week, it sounds like, from a Don Williams article, I believe, he said, Coach Kingsbury said there's no real benefit to naming a starter prior to game one. So there was one back in spring when you were saying you wanted the team to gel. Now you're saying they're not. Why why do you think that, that he's changing his point of view, Ryan?
Well, there's a couple avenues we can take here. The internal optimist in me is going to say, well, he really just likes the competition. He loves seeing Webb and Mahomes continue to push each other, and he just really – they really haven't separated themselves yet, and he really just doesn't want to give anything away. He just wants to continue to see that type of competition head on. But I'm really thinking he's kind of snake bit. I addressed it in an article last week about coming out of fall camp, what do we take away? And he made that kind of, we still don't have a starter comment. And with Stidham decommitting, and we had another one earlier this year, Brewer transferred, Mayfield transferred. You're sitting there, and if he goes with Mahomes early, I think he's really afraid of Webb sitting there saying, well, last year you said I was a top five, type of talent, and now I'm second string as a junior, so I'm kind of running out of my options for eligibility. What am I going to do here? So he really kind of wants to, especially as a mentor, really try to keep everybody together, and I really think he's just snake bit, not really wanting to push a button too soon, and just hoping that the Mahomes or Webb can sort it out at some point during the first game against Sam Houston.
Right. Jonathan, what do you think? I agree with a lot of what you said, Ryan. Jonathan, what do you think?
Yeah, I want to hope it's not because he's afraid of somebody transferring. I don't want our head coach to have that kind of fear. But for me, there's two possibilities at why. And the first is that the two quarterbacks are just so close that he can't name one because they are that competitive with each other and that close to each other on their talent level and how they're handling this offense. Or as well, maybe they're not doing that well, and so neither one of them has taken charge of the offense. The other thing, and this is kind of a conspiracy theorist in me, is that he has named one, but he's keeping it very, very tight-lipped. Only the offense knows about it. Only the quarterbacks themselves and the key players know about it, and he just doesn't want to name it and release it to the media.
Yeah, and I get some of the, hey, he still wants Webb, like you were talking about Ryan Webb and Mahomes to compete, but I would just say that. Say, no, we're still competing, not ready to name one. I thought I would be, kind of stick. I just thought it was odd to take what I felt was almost like a 180.
Yeah, that's really where I came from. It is, early in camp, one of the first questions was about Webb and Mahomes, and he said, we're going to find out that answer pretty early in camp. And camp has come and gone, and I don't know how much, film Sam Houston State's watching or how much they can prepare for one or the other here in this first week. It's kind of always a crapshoot how different teams come out with their new styles. But I just really feel like he's either really afraid of the decision he's going to make or the wrong decision, and I really don't think he's ready to pull the trigger yet. I have a feeling that we're going to find out sometime that even if someone starts, that's for Sam against Sam Houston, that may not be the actual starter for the long term as we get into conference play.
Yeah, I hope it is. I hope whoever he names is injury free, because that's been the biggest issue at quarterback that we've seen over the last two seasons. Which it's worked out because Mayfield went down and it gave Webb a chance to play. Webb went down, gave Mahomes a chance to play, but it's always just left this quarterback battle and quarterback discussion on the top of everyone's mind because we haven't had a consistent quarterback for one whole season or for most of the season. There was always a controversy going on because what started with an injury. So,
well if I could interject one more thing, the other thing that we have to kind of, it's not really important on Kingsbury's decision, but the fans have already chosen their fan favorite.
Yeah,
and
they have.
We've seen it with Chris Todd and Graham Harrell back in 06, and we've seen it with Sheffield and Potts in 2009 about how playing the hot hand really swings the fan base, especially when we're playing a home game. Quarterbacks in the past really haven't had that much of an issue with it, but I just can't imagine the firestorm if he actually chooses, or Webb earns the job out of camp. I can just imagine Webb taking the field for the first snap and the amount of boos that were going to rain down on this new season.
I feel bad for quarterbacks when it happened to Harrell. He got booed. I don't know. Just never been a fan. I wrote an article about that earlier this summer. I'm just not a fan of booing college kids.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it may happen if things go awry, but never agree with it. All right, so let's put that aside and just focus on what we've got, because we've got a game this week. Who do we watch for in Sam Houston State's team? Who do you guys think the listeners should be looking for?
I'll go first here, and I know we were talking amongst ourselves about this one player, and that's PJ Hall. His video, his highlights are incredible.
Yeah, they are.
He looks like he's a varsity player playing up against a elementary school in some of those highlights, and I believe they were the highlights of one of the playoff games too. So he wasn't playing a scrub FCS team. I believe it was Jacksonville State, the ones we were looking at. And he is fast. He is quick. I don't think I've ever seen someone, especially at the FCS level, get off the line that quick.
Yeah, it is. He looks like the J.J. Watt of FCS out there.
Yes, yeah. J.J. Watt or DeMarcus Ware, he's very, very quick, and we have got to be ready for that. The one thing I did see, though, is if you can make him miss once, he'll over-pursue you, and we might be able to take advantage of that. Or just a lot of motion just to confuse him. But that's one thing we've definitely got to watch out for.
Yeah. Ryan, what about you?
I'm right there with you. I couldn't find anybody else on film that really jumped off the screen. You know, I could probably take a long shot here or there on the offensive side of the ball. Just, hey, if this guy gets in space. But there's really nobody else on the team quite like it. And if we've seen anything from the defensive line who can affect a play early in the game, whether it's, you know, getting to the quarterback early, making them have happy feet, maybe stripping the ball deep in, you know, our own territory, that can kind of shift the momentum early and kind of get Tech playing tight. I think it's PJ Hall. There's just, I think depending on where he lines up, you're going to see at least one offensive lineman and maybe an oversized wide receiver / tight end kind of check him off the line as much as possible, but there's really no other candidate.
Yeah, I would throw out the thing I like about Sam Houston State is their quarterback, Jared Johnson. I like the fact they've got a dual threat quarterback who does run pretty well and throws pretty well, because we've had trouble with dual threat quarterbacks in the past. No matter who the defensive coordinator was, it seems like we've struggled with those guys mightily. So I'm glad that we start off with one. I want to see how this defense reacts to him. Not saying he's an all-world player, but he's a pretty solid quarterback, and he's pretty solid, like I said, at running and passing both. So it'll be somewhat of a test to start our defense out with, which I like. Go ahead.
Means, we're going to have Mitchell on him all day, right?
Yeah. Just line him up as a spy. I love it. I hadn't heard that thrown out yet as an option, but I do like it.
Spy from the defensive end. That's awesome.
There you go. So what do you guys think? And Ryan, we'll start with you. What do we think the ideal scenario for how this first game plays out? What does that look like?
Oh, goodness. The ideal scenario has to be clean play on the offensive side of the ball. You know, limit the turnovers. I think that's one thing that has been frustrating everybody, that just it hasn't really been that we've been beaten really bad. I mean, you can take away the TCU game last year, but we haven't really done anything to win a game. We've done a lot of stuff to lose the game. It's kind of a self-implosion type of thing, whether it's penalties or turnovers. I think it's going to really set the tone for this game offensively, cutting down on the turnovers. And then on the flip side, on the defensive side, like I said before, we really need to see some sort of getting after the ball, turnovers, seeing how our secondary is coming around, especially under David Gibbs, and really see if we can cut down on penalties across the board. I know it's kind of shooting a dead horse, but we really need to kind of focus on those two things. And if we can do that, I think it'll set the tone for the season.
What about you, Jonathan?
Ideally, I want a repeat of when Sam Houston State was here 10 years ago and we put 80 points on them. But being more realistic, I want us to just play sound football. I want us to make good football plays, don't have many penalties, play smart, play well, tackle when you're supposed to be able to, just the fundamentals kind of thing. Obviously, we need to win, but I want to see good fundamental football played.
That's, I was coming from a different angle of, hey, I think, you know, we need to give up no more than 14 points. We need to put up, you know, somewhere north of 40 points. But hearing you guys talk, I agree. Let's take a baby step this first game. Let's play something that we haven't seen in a couple of years. A clean football game, very few turnovers, very few penalties, get a win. It doesn't matter by what, but let's just play a nice, pretty game, get a win, and start building from game one, because the schedule gets pretty damn tough pretty damn quick after this.
Yeah. But I really think that's kind of Kingsbury's motto this year. You know, we've gone from Beyonce's Bay and the Ice Bucket Challenge and kind of all the hype surrounding that to a real low-key offseason. And if you put too many expectations, especially on this first game, and we don't meet those expectations, there might be some grumblings throughout Raiderland.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Everything he's pointed to this offseason, penalties and turnovers. So let's see it. Let's see the results. Okay, then, so speaking of defense, because I know that's a lot of the focus outside of quarterback play, it seems like everyone wants to talk quarterbacks and defense. So realistically, Jonathan, how good can our defense be this season?
Hopefully better. I don't think we can be too much worse, or at least I hope we can't be too much worse. But I want us to be able to stop the run at least a little bit. I know we're going to play against some pretty hard rushing teams who last year were able to run all over us. And I want us to be able to hold them in check a little bit. I want to make teams like Arkansas actually throw the ball.
That would have been nice to see last year, right?
Right, yeah. We need something like that. I believe that we can improve on that. I know there was one play in that game last year where in the Arkansas game where Rika actually stood up their running back and pushed him straight back. And I think he can help us a lot there. I know Braid being there will be able to disrupt the line of scrimmage a lot more than we were able to do last year. So I just want to see a little bit better run defense and baby steps, like you said. We just need to get a little bit better.
Yeah, Ryan, what do you think?
I'm going to go with it's going to be the game after Oklahoma State in 2007. You know, there's such a drastic turnaround from when Ruffin McNeil took over the defense in 2007 after we gave up 600-plus yards to Oklahoma State in a game we should have won back then. But I think we're going to see that type of turnaround. It may not be this game with Sam Houston, but it's definitely going to be when Arkansas, when we go to Fayetteville. I really think this, we've got the talent. There's no, you know, getting around that. We actually have the talent. We've got depth now. It's just sound play. And if Gibbs can do anything with just having people stay in their lanes and making sure that they either take up a hole and allow someone else to get to the ball and not try to do too much, that's going to be a big thing. But I expect us to kind of jump back into the middle pack of the Big 12 relatively quickly as far as total defense and turnover defense.
That's big. That'd be a big jump. I think everyone would be excited about that. My goal is along those same lines. I want to be, which we haven't sniffed this in a while, I think it's been since 08, but a top 100 defense in the nation, total yards-wise. That means going from about 512 yards given up per game last season, if you look at last season stats, to about 445. So you're looking at about a 60-yard improvement per game, which I think is doable. I mean, if you're talking about a defense that turns the ball over, maybe you're only talking a turnover a game that shut down what was a scoring drive and turns it into a turnover. That right there could be 50 or 60 yards per game difference. So I think it's realistic. I really think we shouldn't be outside of the top 100. I never think that Tech is going to be number one in the nation in defense or anything unrealistic. But, I mean, can we all agree that being outside the top 100 is kind of embarrassing? You know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think even being just inside the top 100 is kind of embarrassing.
I do too, but at least it's a step in the right.
In the 70s, 70, 80 rank, I think. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, like I was saying earlier, that Ruffin had us number one in conference play for total defense.
Yeah.
And I think if you look back to Kingsbury's first seven games, it was all about getting off the field on third down. A lot of three and outs, and I think that cuts down on your yardage as well. Get off the field and get the ball back to the offense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I agree. Our goal should never be number 99, just so that we're not in triple digits. But but I just think this year, if that's where we can get to, then we can start moving forward to being – I mean, I think if we shoot – I'm kind of with you. I think let's be right at the top half of the nation, which is about 60 to 65 in the nation. I think that would be a good point for us to be defensively, considering what we've got on the other side of the ball, which is an offense that likes to move fast, that likes to score points quickly, likes to get up and down the field trying to wear out the other defense. So when we're running that type of scenario on offense, we can't expect the defense to be number one in the nation, but you can at least expect a decent defense, which I think, you know, being in the top half, right around the fringe of the top half, is decent. Well, fellas, that's all the questions that I have. You guys have anything you want to chat about before we wrap this up?
Nothing here other than I saw that I think it was California is opening up as 43.5-point favorites in their game.
Versus,
and I thought that was a little excessive.
Versus who are they playing?
I can't even remember who they were playing.
Boy, Sonny Dykes is going to be looking to cover that line, and that's going to be a big one. My goodness, that's a monster. Ryan, anything out of you? Any questions? This is your very first Air Raid podcast. You got to have something for us.
Well, I do have a question. I'm just wondering, has there ever been an opener outside of high expectations to go deep into, you know, conference play or dark horse for a Big 12 title that seems so stressful than this one against Sam Houston about what we're looking for? Can we think of one? I feel like there's a lot of there's like, at least from a fan perspective, that there's so much stress about what we're going to see. Is it going to be a, you know, repeat of next year, which was kind of embarrassing, even though we weren't out of a lot of games, or is it going to be kind of a return to normalcy, as it were, for what Tech football has been over the last 14, 15 years?
So that's a really good question. Does it have anything to do with what's played out with the quarterback? I mean, obviously, we're numb to defensive coordinator changes, so that shouldn't stress any Tech fan out at this point, right? But is it the way that the quarterback situation's been handled and there's a little bit of unease and a little bit of division? Because if you look back last year, Webb was the man. The year before, Webb, Mayfield weren't the man, but you had Michael Brewer being the man all the way up until summer, and then things unraveled, but there wasn't this huge buildup of an entire offseason where there was a quarterback issue. Before that, it was Daigie, and you had him for a couple of years, and then he had been here so long, he kind of just stepped right into the role. Everyone knew it was coming. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, but I do feel like there's just a lot of I feel like maybe it's because of the unknowns. There's big expectations, but there's big unknowns going on. Jonathan, am I on the right page as far as you? Or
yeah, I think some of it, too, is when Cliff started, he started out fantastic and then really fell off the map. And I think that contract extension plus the how he started it and how he fell, I think that's really given a lot of pressure to the team.
Yeah, so it's more for you more to do with just the pressure of it?
Yeah, the pressure to respond to what the fans want.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Ron, what do you think? I mean, do you have any answers to your own question? Because it was a good question.
Well, I was really trying to figure it out because I still have some connections back in Lubbock with young high schoolers who are just now getting there. And it's just kind of weird to think that there are freshmen at Tech right now who have these expectations about what Tech football has been, but were 11 the last time that Tech was actually relevant deep into the season. And wow. I'm not sure that they understand why so many fans are hungry. Like, this isn't what it's supposed to be about. That's why I said this return to normalcy. Like, we're just so hungry for it, and it just feels like there's so much stress from the outside. And I know Kingsbury, I think Kingsbury's the man. I really think he's going to be the guy that gets us to the right spot, especially compared when we get into that mess of Tuberville. But I just feel like there's so much stress, and maybe some fans don't understand why, or, you know, just coming into it, just thinking, hey, yeah, it's offense, it's points, but just thinking about why that is, and how's it been so long since we've had these types of expectations about what to look for on the team or defense.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got an odd feel to it, no doubt about it. This season does compared to last. Because I mean, coming into the last season, we felt, oh, okay, we're going to take a step forward from 7-5. And but I think one of the very first articles I wrote for the site was, if you had looked at the past recruiting classes, the last couple that Tuberville had brought in, the writing was on the wall. I mean, there was just attrition.
Oh, absolutely.
Out the wazoo.
Absolutely.
That created it. And I think everyone just saw, oh, well, Kingsbury came in, got a 7-0, had a rough spot into the season well, and now we're going to come back and just keep the momentum from the bowl game. But there was just this undercurrent that hadn't come to a head. And I think last year it came to a head of, we lost all these guys, we didn't get them replaced, there wasn't much depth in certain spots, and so we just had to ride last season out. And so I think everyone, maybe they don't see the recruiting piece of it, but they see that, hey, last season was rough, now we've got some depth. They see the things that have changed now, and so they feel like we are on the upswing and last season was the valley.
Yes, and I think we've all kind of put our two cents in as far as we shouldn't put all of our money on this game with Sam Houston as far as what we're looking for and how's it going to go, baby steps. But what is the feeling through the administration or just the majority of the unwashed fan base, as it were, that's not looking at recruiting every day or anything like that, if we go out and lay us Central Arkansas this Saturday? Not trying to be negative, but
I think
I don't have any problem with the team responding. I think we'll be fine. But if we go out there and struggle, is it going to be this overwhelming dread going forward? Are they going to start chirping for the next backup quarterback if the offense struggles?
So Jonathan, you tell me if you agree. I think there's two sets of fans. There's happy fans and there's unhappy fans. There's no one in the middle, right? So if we go out there and we win 60-10, well, everyone's happy. You know, the large majority of fans, 99% of them would be happy about it. The 1% would be unhappy because you're always going to have those. If we go out there and win 24-21 on the last second field goal, then it's 99% unhappy and 1% who are optimistic about it. So I don't think the average fan is going to take it a close game and not freak out about it. I think it really is going to be like, oh my gosh, here we go. We're 4-8. I'm going to quit watching this team.
Oh, I agree. Definitely. Especially if it's a close game, even if we play fundamentally sound, if they see the close score, it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah.
I think
people are going to start putting up pictures of dumpster fires, even if we win by 10.
That's right. They will. And like I said, I think the fans are either happy or unhappy. They're never just satisfied until maybe the season's over. They could be like, oh, okay, well, I'm satisfied with how the season's went. But I think it's going to be, you know, depending on how this game goes, if it's close, it's unhappy. If it's a blowout, then they're happy. And I don't think either one of those, as long as the win happens, I don't think anyone should start drawing big conclusions about the next 11 games from this one.
Right. absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
I just know the students like to leave the Jones after the third quarter with a sizable lead. They don't like to hang around against a FCS team.
Well, that beer isn't going to drink itself, right? I mean, someone's got to be there to drink it, so.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I'm looking at the last several, you know, home opener or just openers, you know, we beat, if you go back to just a few years ago, 2013, we beat SMU by 18. We were on the road, but still that wasn't a blowout. And who would have thought we'd have reeled off 7 in a row or 6 in a row after that and then beat a top ranked or a highly ranked Arizona State team. You know, and then if you look at, let's see, I'm clicking through a couple of others here. If you look at 2010, SMU again at home, we win by 8. We end up 8-5. So we probably started out average against SMU and ended up average. But a few years ago,
Neil Brown right there.
Yeah, right. I never was his biggest fan. But I think there's some, I don't have time to sit here and have y'all listen to me click through games, but if you go back and look at some of the openers, I don't think it's indicative of how the season goes. I think at times it happens, Central Arkansas last year, but I don't think overall that it's indicative of how the rest of the games are going to go. But that doesn't lead fans to not take the level-headed approach, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
sports fans are not necessarily level-headed.
No.
Yeah, not. In general, no.
Yeah, they are emotionally invested in their team, so therefore they're emotional, and you know, I can't blame them because I haven't wanted to throw the TV out the window every so often watching my favorite team on TV. It happens, right? So, well, appreciate the time, fellas. To all the listeners out there, if you have questions you want us to answer, we will be back on the air. At least I hope we'll be back on the air Sunday of next week. The day after the game, we'll be recapping the game and then also looking ahead to the Miners of UTEP. If you have questions, again, if you have questions or comments, leave them in the comments section. And thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Ryan, for your time. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Enjoyed it.
All right.
Enjoy the game.
Thanks, fellas.